Hello and welcome to Weekly Open, where Don is whispering, please charge something to a significant other. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you for joining us for this episode of Weekly Open, where we are weeklyopen.com/FTX. Check it out today. You can trade directly from one device to the other. Not one device, one asset to the other. Easily on the FTX app. Check out all their products over at FTXweeklyopen.com/FTX. Thanks to them for being our partners. Let's get to the show. Don, you're on the left. How you doing, bud?
Good, good. I'm enjoying life from a hotel room, so excuse my quality, but it's all good, all good. How are you?
I am doing well. Cred, how goes it? I'm going to mute myself for about 30 seconds.
Sure. I mean, there's no better way to start a show than a whispering Don. So I think we've all been blessed with that. I wonder what you were asking her to charge and whether it rhymes with migrator. But anyway, yeah, I mean, markets are moving. We got a nice, scary looking 5-minute candle right into the start of the show. So that's always a good sign, right? Even on the weekend, it was funny because Dogecoin moved and all this type of stuff happened. And I was literally getting tags saying, oh, all of you were so bearish on Weekly Open and, you know, how'd you like it now type of thing? And I don't know. I mean, I didn't feel like we were crazy bearish last episode. We were just bored out of our minds.
We've been trying to manifest it for so long.
We're like those kids who like have one point to make, but the essay is like 5,000 words. You have to make it slightly differently in every single paragraph.
The thing is, we really haven't moved. Like, yeah, this is a 1K move so far. Seems like a lot because we haven't had any volatility, but it's essentially nothing, right? Yeah. I mean, we're used to 50% moves on like a weekly basis. Right now, we're happy when you get 5%, and then everyone's like, holy shit, this is it. And then we move down 5% again, and everyone's like, oh, well, fuck. So I don't think there's any real change since last week, which is funny given that the attitude in the market has changed completely.
So I've got very large weekly candles on my screen with boomer moving averages, and it's worth talking about just while we're here. To your point, Don, the last weekly candle we opened at 19,575 or so. We closed it at 2,600. So not even, or yeah, right at $1,000 move, right into the fast moving average on a weekly basis, and certainly nowhere close to like a 200 week or anything like that. In total, that's kind of a nothing burger. Emotionally, it felt different than that. Like everybody was hyped up, etc. But does that just mean it's leverage for downside or what? The ETH weekly was much better for what it's worth. You know, that previous weekly opened to close was 17%. So that's like feeling something, you know. But yeah, Bitcoin is pretty pathetic. And especially when the previous dollar weekly S&P, you know, they were all fairly outsized. Like the S&P weekly was much more impressive 2 weeks in a row, which Bitcoin can't even represent, but you know, 3.5%, 4% on the S&P. And then the 2 week move on the S&P about 7%, and like pretty clearly off the bottom. Bitcoin's still kind of failing to represent that. Like you would think these are reversed, right? In terms of the velocity of the move based on historical crypto volatility, but that's not where we are.
No, it's just been garbage price action pretty much left, right, and center. And I think the reason why people are excited is basically because Dogecoin moved. Whenever you have like one coin move quite a bit, like I think Dogecoin doubled, then people get excited again. It's the things that like every crypto trader looks out for. It kind of feels like the market comes back alive, but really the market hasn't. It's just narrative chasing, and everyone is so bored that they just jump into anything that they can get, which makes these kind of trades like the Dogecoin trade so interesting, because you know that everyone that still wants to trade is just going to hop on that because it's an easy narrative to take advantage of. But anything else
doubled in a week, and it was such a like a narrative thing. We should have known, right? None of us mentioned it last week. I probably was bear posting Doge recently. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it's one of these things where everyone knows that the moment Elon actually like pulls the trigger, it's gonna go. It's just like, it's been so, everyone's so complacent in the market that it's hard to kind of find these plays. But props to anyone that did. I mean, it's very obvious trade that we really should have actually mentioned. Yeah, I agree.
Didn't it flip? I think Bitcoin for the first time in a while fell to third place in some venues. What? For perpetual swaps trading volume. So it was like Doge, ETH, Bitcoin, you know, well, which is crazy.
And yeah, that's always ended Don's well, point. Right?
Yeah, no, yeah. But it does speak to Don's point that like whoever's left, like we're not going to get long lasting and compelling narratives really at this point. So everyone's just looking for an excuse to trade. And that also just leads to a much higher capital concentration in these trades. Like when there's 10 different narratives and everything's popping, it's got a passive bid, you know, that dispersion is going to show up. But if you haven't got that, then what you've got is the entire market of like active traders, which you can count on one hand, basically aping into the same instrument. So the capital concentrations, as I said, on those trades tend to be really intense. The moves tend to be one-sided. The issue then becomes all those same traders kind of front run each other on the exit, right? No, I don't think anyone is looking to hold for long periods of time, so you get a bit of an unwind that doesn't look so pretty a lot of the time. I mean, for Dogecoin, narratively probably should have been there. I'm not buying pullbacks on this thing. I'm completely uninterested.
Are you selling the rip though? Like, is this?
Shorting Dogecoin, no way. I had a mental note. I was looking at it when it was pushing up into that weekly area, not far from where you've got, closer to, where was that? Like 11 cents, like the like sort of end of 10, sort of, yeah, that weekly underside structure. And I was like, should I short this? And then I just decided not to, because I just knew it was a, you know, sometimes when you miss a big move, the first thing you want to do is to sell it down to take kind of revenge for not being on board. So that's kind of where that idea came from. I was like, you know, I'm going to fade exactly that level. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to fade this because I'm not on board. And this is, people aren't allowed to make money if I'm not in the market or whatever. But I quickly stepped away from that because it just didn't seem very smart. I think if it does like bleed below that level, I might try to catch the underside of it, but honestly my Dogecoin trading history is not the greatest, put it that way, so I'll be a bit conservative there. And I think Bitcoin has very interesting setups brewing compared to some of the others. I see you're taking some liberties with the risk reward tool there, Ledger.
Yeah, the autocomplete on my exit is negative 3%.
Zero. That's, I don't know, quite why bearish, huh?
I don't know why it auto completes them that way, but it did.
It does this for my stop losses too. Every time I put this on and it puts my stop loss at minus, I'm like, I mean, that's probably not going to get stopped out.
Yeah. I mean, is this kind of, if you were to take, I'm just curious, I'm always at risk when I'm trying to use the tools that y'all are really good at, like a stop somewhere below the previous weekly high or something. Like, where do you set a stop on that? And is this the take profit, this previous weekly like range high?
Well, I'd need it to fail that weekly level first and foremost, at least see that on the weekly or daily time frame. Something like that. I mean, that's a kind of, something in that area. I want that to act as resistance in the market to get accepted below it. I think the conservative target is definitely what you've pointed out. And what would normally happen if I got that set up is I'll take profit there, feel good, and then the market would just bleed and retrace the whole thing and travel twice the distance. But yeah, technically speaking, that's sort of the first trouble area, if you will.
Yeah,
but I don't think, you know, it's not top of my list, kind of shorting Doge or whatever. Is
I 100% agree. That just kind of seems like an easy way to lose. Like, this seems like a market where you can short almost anything and make money, and then Doge seems to be one of the few things where you can short it and actually lose money. So I don't really, like, me personally just looking at it is like, where can I lose money? And that would basically be it, because everything else kind of looks like you could actually just short it and make money on it. Like Bitcoin looks to be at the range high on the daily. A lot of other things look like they should be going down, and Doge I could see just stop you out, even though everything else dumps right as well.
This is the one that I was actually truly bear posting on, Axie Infinity, which didn't move at all last week. So yeah, I agree. Like, why short the thing that moved up 100%?
Yeah, I was gonna say, right? It's like, what's the strongest thing in the market? I'm gonna sell it while everything else is. I
was curious from a purely technical perspective, like, how would you approach that trade?
Yeah.
But yeah, some of these others, who out there is just thinking right now, you know, I need to own Axie Infinity right now. That's the thing. That's the comeback trade. I'm gonna look up the actual market cap of Axie. I think we might have done that before, but I'm just still shook by it, you know.
Yeah, you're bullying this coin ledger every week. I bring it out as some sort of punching bag.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still too high. I don't even know what it is, and I can tell you it's still too high.
It's the backbone of the Philippine economy. That's what it is. This is core national infrastructure.
It's a billion, almost $1 billion circulating market cap, and its FDV is like over 2.4 billion.
Well, still too high. Yeah. Insane.
So it's got a still almost 4x its supply before it's fully diluted. So it's highly inflationary. I don't know what that rate is per year, but yeah, not great.
Not great.
Thank God, I mean, honestly, helped with the tokenomics, right? We'd be in real trouble otherwise.
Look at that chart. It's just horrendous. I mean, honestly, a lot of these charts are just very,
hey,
very
how
bad.
Come I didn't trade that? When did I draw that?
In the world. This is like the sleepwalking ledger who wakes up at 4 a.m. and like charts everything perfectly, and then you don't even have
and
any
never took the trade. Like some previous episode, I drew it below this level. But yeah, she's gonna do this. Come on. Oh, what a disappointment I am.
I'm sure
myself.
If you submit your squiggles to TradingView, they'll review them and then credit your account if they're accurate enough. So
yeah. Yeah, somebody
that's how it should work, right?
Yeah, just deposit this winning trade into my bank account if you don't mind.
I think Bitcoin looks interesting though, and so does the dollar index, and equities are interesting-ish. I mean, I can screen share some of this
go
stuff.
For
I
it.
Think Don's Please. Got very similar levels, so feel free to interrupt me, obviously. Let me get the right Chrome tab, because there are many wrong Chrome tabs. Okay, you can see this, right?
Yeah.
So this is basically, I've got this level, which I've titled, It's Fucked Below Here, which I believe. And as you can see, where this level comes from is pretty much the daily range high. And the premise is this is the first like daily shift in market structure, which made a higher high, which is on its face constructive. And as we've spoken on the show before, failed breakouts are like some of the ugliest things that happen in crypto and some of the more reliable toppy type of patterns, especially in downtrends. The last one, which we all spoke about very vocally, was the Luna buying BTC failed breakout in the mid-40s. I'm sure you all remember that when this type of breakout took place, right? I think this is it. Mid-40s? Yeah, that sounds right. So our premise was, hey, look, this is a breakout, good. But if breakout fails, oh my God, like, no.
Zero.
Lights out. Zero. Yeah, zero. I think our target for this was actually 30K. So,
yeah.
You know.
Then it went to 18.
It went to zero. Yeah. and so I'm applying quite like a similar type of mental model here, where if this breakout ends up failing, it ends up trading back into the range, which we've tested 10 zillion times. And so at that point, I'm not interested in knife catching this after a failed breakout. Like if the support is going to do its job within the range, that's fine. Expecting this level to hold again after we've had a trap set up, I think that's asking a bit too much, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Or at least I personally wouldn't be rebuying it. So It's Fucked Below Here is my level. I think we even tested it. yeah, that's nice. So that's kind of where a lot of this dumpage ended up. In terms of what's above us, I think Don's got the same level, this kind of mid-20s cluster. And it's pretty decent technical structure. You know, it was the consolidation that took us out of the range. It's the consolidation that took us out of this range initially, like on this spike, which broke market structure here. And, you know, it was support since then. We overshot it on this really ugly juncture, and then we're sort of back at the level again. So I think if you're looking for continuation, and also just quickly, one other piece of context is if you line up the daily range in this way, sort of between 23 and 19, you get a nice mid-range at that same level. So there's a lot of overlap and confluence, and I'm sure if you added like a volume profile, you'd see like a high volume node there at this less than 21 level, 20.7, 20.8 or thereabouts. And that's sort of what's smacking us down for the time being. So in terms of setups, I mean, I like to trade quite close to my invalidation. So if I say it's fucked below here, I'm going to try to buy it at least once, probably. What that looks like to me, the kind of closest I can trade to my invalidation, is probably doing business somewhere ideally towards the bottom of this cluster, which is already a bit of a push because you can see it'll be below my level. So this would need to be like the daily wick or something like the extreme, pretty much, right? That's my trading system. In a nutshell, try to do business at extremes and get good prices. So any pushes into here that get absorbed or failed breakdown type of patterns, I'll see if it holds my level on the daily, and then maybe swing it back up to the range high and see what happens. But any daily closes back below this, you know, it's fucked below here level, just look really bad in my opinion. And then I'd either look to sell the underside of that lower, or just avoid longs entirely. So kind of the range we're in is pretty tight. You know, 20.3 is kind of the daily structure. I'm sure Don has got more to say about this, but the fact that we've come back to it immediately after spiking the high is like not a good sign of a breakout, generally speaking. But I'm open-minded to pumping it once or twice and giving it a chance. But this is just pretty narrow for me. So if I'm not getting really good slash extreme prices, I'm probably going to stay away from it. And I think on the weekly time frame, you can kind of see where this daily resistance or gray box comes from. If you just line it up, it actually comes in line with Don's FUD level at like 21. I think he's got something like this cluster here, right? At around 20.5 to 21. And that's sort of the weekly resistance as well. So however you want to slice it, there's a lot of confluence in the sort of high 20s, 21K handle. And I'm also running out of patience for this breakout, given how sort of pretty much weak it's been since it broke out. So I can give it a punt. You know, if it gives me a good price, I'll give it a chance. But any daily closes below, it just looks like a failed breakout to me at face value. Obviously, the other scenario I haven't mentioned is if you get some sort of momentum continuation thingy above this level of resistance, some good things might happen. But I'm such a garbage momentum continuation trader that I just often ignore talking about those scenarios because they'll like look good on the squiggly, but the odds of me trading them well are like not terribly high.
While we're transitioning to Don wanting to share something, I believe, can I just note that like this is all depressing? These ranges for Bitcoin are pathetic. Like, yes. Why trade this?
It's awful. It's like, horrendous. How have we not tested 30K yet? You know, like in a bear market rally, 30K. Where is it?
Where?
I mean, the thing is, like, if you look at this chart, right, you can kind of see how bad this is because you can barely see the price action because I have to actually zoom in and make this like bigger because you have to do this to actually be able to see anything. And yeah, it just looks sad. It's a weekly kind of range, and it's tiny, and it's been very depressed, and it's been tiny at the lows, right? So this has not really been moving upwards. You can kind of see that the lows, they've been actually moving downwards. Oh, excuse my drawings. This is on a laptop, and I'm horrible on a laptop. But it's kind of been moving downwards more than anything, and the bounces have been kind of shit. Like this weekly candle is what we've been excited about, right? Or what I've seen people be excited about. I get the excitement about the altcoins that move up like 50%, whatever, but this is nothing to be excited about just yet, right? So you want to see these, like this structure here, to get broken. You don't want to be excited while we're making lower highs, and this is clearly still a lower high. It ran all the way to resistance. It's getting rejected there right now, and that is off of insane strength on the S&P, right? This is not really like crypto specific. The S&P's had two really, really good weeks. We've had like one decent week and a really shitty week, really, considering that the S&P moved up. So like I'm not too excited just yet. I want to see the same thing that Craig talked about. I want to see this resistance be broken, right? Because the moment we break that resistance, we make a high, like we break this high, which is a pretty good first sign, especially given that we have a structure here that is very, very clearly, Jesus Christ, going down. So like this plus this is just not what you want to see, right? Like this is a downtrend. It's a downtrend in a downtrend. And if you know anything, like if there's one rule in trading is that like you don't necessarily want to be buying during downtrends, right? And the clearest example is if you zoom out a little bit, like you have a downtrend here that is very clean as well. So you have a high time frame downtrend, and now we're starting to get a weekly downtrend in that high time frame downtrend as well. And it's just not exciting to me. Now, obviously,
Don is like that change. Exhibit meme. Hey, dog, I heard you like downtrends, so put a downtrend in your downtrend.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, this is just overall, like, I get why people want to buy it, because, I mean, 20K, like, it's a really nice cycle level, and I've tried a couple times. But at this point, I just, like, for me, it doesn't really make much sense anymore. If anything, like, I want to give it some time, because if this kind of walks out of this downtrend structure on its own, cool, can still do business at 22, 23, 24, whatever. But like this, I'm really not that excited. And I'm much more excited if we break this range to the downside and put in a false breakdown. That would look amazing, because I think 20K is a decent price to kind of step in and buy for the long term. So if you get anything lower than that in a fake breakout kind of scenario, looks much, much better. Or if we start actually showing strength, right? Because you have at least some form of, okay, I can step into this with a little bit of confidence instead of, okay, I'm stepping into this because I'm just so fucking bored and I need this to move. Otherwise, I'll lose my mind. That kind of never really works out well in my experience anyway. So yeah, just muted expectations on my end, especially given we just literally ran into weekly resistance, and that weekly resistance is so close to weekly support that you can barely see the candles in between it. So it's kind of like, what the fuck are you supposed to do here?
I think what depresses me the most is it's at the same time where the S&P put something in that was much more impressive.
Yes.
I mean, it went back to what I would call COVID recovery breakout levels. You remember, like,
yeah,
all-time high, recapture all-time high, and then just grind into moon. And it retested it perfectly on an area that three weeklies back here played with. Not to say that that's the bottom or anything like that, but those are weekly candles to be proud of. Like, if you're going to recover, maybe it's just like this. It's going to set a range high and continue the downtrend. I don't know. But the fact that it did this and Bitcoin did what you just showed over the same period of time, it's unimpressive. It is an unloved asset category that people are not choosing for taking the risk with. And that's not great. It looks pathetic. And the moves within the crypto ecosystem are in other coins. Few yep. other coins, but other coins. You could Doge for a massive pump with some kind of, like, you know, fundamental narrative, you know, taking over Twitter.
if you can call it that, yeah.
But ETH, for example, looks a lot more like what the S&P's does. Yes. And Bitcoin's doesn't. Bitcoin's looks like absolute crap, and they need to get it together.
I mean, just the fact that we're celebrating a massive, like massive in quotation marks, green week, and we're still at 20K, right, is kind of, I mean, that just says everything. Like, it's still at 20K. 20K was like buying the dip mode, and now we're excited that a candle actually managed to get above 20K. So, yeah, got to be, especially in these kind of circumstances where the sentiment flips so heavily, while altcoins rally and Bitcoin just kind of struggles to even keep up with the legacy markets, I find it very, very important to kind of keep a calm head and kind of not do something stupid. And I think
any reasonable bear market rally should be hitting that yellow circle.
Yes, I agree.
I'm so disappointed. Yeah, for real.
It's pathetic.
Like, even mentally, I was ready for a bear market. Like, when 30K started breaking down and stuff, and just in general, I was like, if we get any 2018-style bear market rallies, I should be mentally ready to sell lower highs in, like, the high 30s. Like, up to 38K, yeah. Like, that type of stuff. I was mentally, like, yeah, prepping myself for that type of thing. But it's, you know, my resolve in that case hasn't been tested. So, yeah, it's definitely quite strange. I agree with Don. If you've got, like, a multi-week perspective, which might well be the case if you watch, like, a weekly show, waiting for a shift in weekly market structure is generally quite a good idea, because that would be the earliest indication of the trend shifting in your favor. And that would be exactly where Ledger pointed out, that high there. And it would also satisfy the criterion of closing above Don's cluster and just that quite congested area of 21K. And then your case becomes compelling, right? Like, 20K has been decisively reclaimed. We have a weekly bullish shift in market structure that we haven't had since 1962 or whatever it is. And now maybe we get, like, a bigger rotation, a weekly rotation towards weekly targets. Maybe we're building towards that. I don't know. That evidence isn't quite available yet. I just know, for me, in the short term, at least on the daily time frame, we can't really have this 20K breakout fail, or like this attempted reclaim of 20K fail, because I don't know. To me, that's just a very high probability sort of tool for directional bias, failed breakout at a key level that reaches resistance and lags behind sort of tech and so on. It's like, what are we doing? The other thing is, if I can screen share very quickly in terms of just like boring technical stuff, a lot of the time when you get a shift in market structure, you're left with two kind of ways to get on board. The first is that, you know, once you get your higher high and technically market structure is breached, I mean, yeah, sometimes it'll just go without you and that's completely fine. But the two main setups that tend to take place is the market will kind of pull back to the area where market structure was broken and make a higher low there and then continue. Or if you get a break in market structure, right, like in this example, it'll come back slightly deeper to make a lower high at like a deeper retracement, like 60, 80%, whatever. And then, you know, still making a higher low relative to the last leg. And then it gives you a shoot, like a move up, right? The issue is, if we get the second scenario where it's the deeper pullback, I see that as quite a low probability long, because by definition, we'd be back in this whole congestion area where we've already spent like 15 tests of support. So normally when I see a higher high, My brain goes towards, okay, which one of these am I going to get? Now, yeah, sometimes it's just, consolidation and then it goes up. Fine. You know, those are trickier for me personally. But generally speaking, when I get a break in market structure like this, I'm like, am I going to get this or am I going to get the deeper, higher, low pullback? Is it going to be shallow or is it going to be deep? In this case, the shallow one's being tested right now, but I don't think the deep one is available because it'll take us back to levels that I'm not comfortable rebuying. So the scope for this to stay bullish kind of has to be like literally in the next day or two and within the next few percentage points, realistically. Because anything that fails and is accepted below here for me is scuffed. So yeah, it's definitely and to do something, I guess.
Yeah.
Big week.
Pump an hour. Never hold your peace.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason why I'd want to be buying. Is that it's kind of like the last chance to do so. We're at the level that cannot fail. We're low. We're around 20K. If we break this, I'm in the same boat. I think it's just going to fail entirely. Like, we're going to go to 17 or 16K. And then you kind of, in that scenario, it makes a little bit of sense to kind of take the punt because you're just going to take a stop loss. Most of the time, you're going to get stopped out of that trade because I think it's not necessarily the best one. But you're going to get a stop loss and you're going to get to rebuy much cheaper, right? So it's not the worst trade in the world. The setup is quite nice because when you have invalidation so, so close, it's easier to kind of just take the trade and then be like, okay, I was just wrong, or this trade just didn't play out. And then you close it out and then it goes really, really low, I think. So it's not the worst idea to kind of trade around these levels, even if you kind of, if the trade fails, because yeah, it's the last one that you can take basically. So either you're really right or you're really wrong and you'll know immediately, because if it goes against you, the bulls are fucked. If it goes with you, most likely it'll squeeze quite a bit because we're very close to actually making a new high. And then people like me, for example, that are looking at this very closely and are deciding, okay, do I want to kind of jump into strength or do I want to jump into when it breaks down, have to make a move, right? So you have the situation where you can take a trade and there's more likelihood of not being stopped out, like not getting chopped out. There's a high likelihood of you getting stopped out, but it's not like you're going to get stopped out and then it's going to go your way anyway, because I don't think that's very, very likely.
Could one of y'all
I still hate buying here. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's Halloween, October 31st. Could one of y'all take a look at the same concepts price-wise, but from the monthly chart? Tonight, tomorrow, we have a new monthly. Is this any more constructive? Could you see next month's wick being that deeper pullback like you talked about, Cred? You know what I'm saying? Is there any opportunity for variance from the monthly, or is it supportive of everything else?
I actually hate the monthly, as in it's, to me, very bearish. Just looking at this, right? So you have the cycle high here in 2018. We tried to hold it. People stepped in, tried to buy it up. Didn't materialize, kind of like completely got engulfed, and then we closed below it, and this just looks like a bearish retest before it wants to actually just follow the trend. So the monthly, like, that just looks bearish to me. If we actually just close below 20.1k, I mean, then just look like garbage on all time frames. But right now, like, this doesn't look very nice. It's not the worst in the world, just given the fact that we haven't had an impulse after the breakdown, but it looks like kind of like the level that should be support is actually like basically the people that bought the first time around are just selling it now, which is not necessarily the best sign on the one level that needs to hold. So like on this time frame, not the biggest fan. It's actually more bearish than bullish to me.
Like at best, it's a wash, right? If it closes anything like this, because the argument you would make is, hey, it closed below it last month. It didn't, like, barely closed below last month, didn't dump, barely closed above this month, might not pump. And you kind of just have to look at the weekly and the daily timeframes. Because what you'd want to see is, you know, if this monthly were bullish, it spiked below previous month's low, which is nice. But you'd want like a really strong close to follow up on that, right? And that would actually look pretty bottomy to me, at least. That you had 20K, you had a monthly, a week close below it, and then a strong close above it with a previous month spike on top of that. That'd be quite saucy. That's not what we're getting at the moment. So I think at best, if it closes in this area, it's a wash. At worst, obviously, if it just closes below again, acts as resistance. The issue is, as Don said, it would drag down all the other timeframes as well. So the weekly would look like it's respecting the cluster of resistance and not making a higher high. The daily would look like the breakout failed. And at that point, you've got the same signal on both monthly, weekly, and daily timeframes that resistance is doing resistance things. And that's, you know, not great. So yeah, I think the monthly is, to be honest, if you're bullish, you almost kind of want to ignore it because your best arguments are going to come from like the daily time frame or the weekly. The monthly isn't your ally in this instance if it closes anything like it does now.
All right. I mean, right now it's just a massive breakdown, right? Like we had quite a big move to the downside, and then we had just the normal orderly consolidation. And pretty much anyone looking at this chart, if it was anything else in any other time frame, people would be like, okay, this is a breakdown, quite a big one. And then now we're having sideways and it's a trend, right? It's very much trending to the downside. So what does follow after just kind of like a weak consolidation where you don't even have a bounce, just kind of looks like it wants to go down, right? So I think the monthly is just shit. If you want to be bullish, just like Cred said, close your eyes, go on another time frame, try to make your reasoning there, because this is definitely not it.
The monthly isn't real if you don't look at it, basically. That's an important training lesson there.
All right. Well, let me switch over to what I think is one of the most bullish charts in all of crypto. Question is at what USD price, but ETHBTC continues to test this like somewhere between 0.075 and 0.085, I don't know. But just kind of the same concept in reverse in terms of just nailing the same thing. You know, you put this inverted and it's just a constant test of the same levels, looks like Bitcoin does right now. So when I put it this way, I would just wonder, are we finally due for the ETH does things relative to BTC?
ETH flips
trade.
Bitcoin at $500 per ETH. sad.
That journey to point one, I keep having to move the magnet over, but one day, what?
several of them.
Yeah, 2K ETH, 20K Bitcoin. Like nobody would be surprised by that right now, would they be?
No, they wouldn't actually. And honestly, like I could see it show some strength during the dump. It's just, I'm not sure if it would go up in USD actually. Like this is the kind of sad
1500 15K.
Oh, Jesus.
Could be, yeah, it could be. And that's
like you'll
just
get ETH strength, but at what cost? You know.
And I mean, I think people need to buy Bitcoin for the market to go up, so other stuff can go up as well. But doesn't really seem like people are really happy to buy it, so we're just kind of sitting here. But it's kind of nice that we have something that's actually outperforming Bitcoin for just the long term, right? Just if you zoom out on this thing, it's just been going through forever. Every single bear market, it's just been making higher lows, it's just been going on and on and on and on. And every time you think, okay, maybe it's gonna pull back a little now and then give it some time before it goes again, it just goes again without pause. So like ETH's been really, really impressive to me anyway.
Yeah. Anybody who's held ETH since mid 2019 is quite happy with it. in terms of what you own. What do you think? Likelihood of this breakout finally happening?
I don't know, man. I much prefer my ETH BTC breakouts to come either like late to bull cycle when it's all over, or really early bull cycle when it's just getting started. And for me, temporally speaking, it's kind of neither of those at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised by more chop. And if it does if it does really break out, that would be quite strange. And I think it would lend credibility to the idea of kind of ETH BTC outperforming in a bear market, which would be quite strange. But in any case, yeah, I like my ETH BTC upswings at specific points in the market cycle in order for things to kind of look good, orderly, and make sense. And where we are right now isn't one of them. I also think the USD pair has like a bit of work to do. I've got the chart open here. So I've got a very similar type of premise for ETH-USD where, you know, it's fucked below here, which is the breakout level. It did perform better, so there's a bit more space. Like Bitcoin is literally right here, whereas ETH has some liberties as far as that goes. I'm not a huge fan in terms of just like finding levels when it comes to this mid 1500 area. If you put a gun to my head and said, what's the level that the market kind of cares about right now? What's the nearest daily resistance? I might opt to go for this kind of daily consolidation. Maybe I'm just hindsight cherry picking because it's React off of that, whatever. But these types of little sandwiches between impulsive moves tend to be quite nice. So that's sort of what we're dealing with. Yeah, between, you know, 1400 and 1600 basically. And I think our commentary regarding the weekly time frame is also true for ETH. You know, if you strip away our tools and levels, etc., and looked at it from a line chart point of view, this is still bearish market structure on the weekly, right? You've got your high, your low, your lower high, your lower low. And so in order to get bullish weekly market structure to see a shift, you need to get back above this high here. And then you get that break. Maybe you get a pullback continuation. Maybe you get a break and a deeper pullback and continuation. But until that high is violated, market structure is still downtrendy. So that's something to bear in mind. I think if you want to make the bull, I mean, we've been doom posting as always. If you want to make the bull case, I think it's contingent pretty much on the S&P. Right. So we're coming up to the monthly close on this thing. And for the first time in this entire downtrend, it looks like that a previous level of broken support isn't going to turn to resistance. That's kind of the shift of behavior we've been talking about for a while, where this breakdown at 4,300 broke, perfect resistance. You know, on intraday timeframes, you also had that pattern continue. But around this type of monthly cluster, once it reached the top of this month, you know, this is your weekly level here, Ledger, just on the monthly timeframe, that kind of COVID high 3,500 handle. If we get this monthly close above, it'd be the first time on any timeframe where a breakout actually didn't turn to resistance and turn to support. Now, that doesn't mean it teleports straight away into the next level of resistance, which I'll talk about in a sec. It could be the case that we pull back for a month and consolidate, but ultimately, you know, this ends up being our floor for some time, given that shift in behavior. So if anything's really like gonna drag this up, well, I hope so, right? If anything's gonna drag this up, it would be the S&P's willingness to be accepted back above the range as opposed to finding resistance there. In terms of day trading-y type of, or even short-term trading targets, for me, I quite like this cluster. Around the 4,000 handle. And the reason for it is if we take this 37 to 4,300 range and do that, you can see you've got a nice midpoint at 3,980, 3,990, which also just lines up with this weekly structure and the 4,000 round number as well. So that tends to, I think that's the first level of S&P resistance. If we get any type of pullback and bounce or just bounce from here, that's kind of where my eye is. But what you definitely want to see if the market does pull back is for that pattern we talked about to actually come to life, which would mean this turns into some sort of inverted head and shoulders or over under structure where this is the range. This ended up being the failed break. If we pull back, it becomes support again, and then we can trade it towards the midpoint, if not the range high. But in any case, kind of zooming out, the S&P not being accepted below this range boundary and not trading any lower, as long as that stays and we get some sort of consolidation here, that's kind of the bull, you know, if you want to poke at a bull case, that would be it. That, hey, it looks like the S&P has stopped trending down as aggressively as it was previously. And I don't like, you know, that has to be true because everything else is kind of setting up. Like dollar looks strong again. I don't know if you guys have been kind of following this chart or whatever. Like even like a basic pullback view on the 3-day, this looks like a very orderly pullback in line with the trend. You know, like I don't know what to tell you. That seems just very technical to me as far as the market right now. And if you want to look on the daily time frame, it did try to make a lower low, You had a high here, this low, tried to make a lower low, but immediately pops up and accepted back within the range. So dollar still looks strong. Crypto is kind of testing those, especially Bitcoin is testing sort of do or die levels. I think any multi-week bull case is contingent on the S&P holding the 3700 handle, because I didn't see a ton in terms of catalysts aside from that.
I agree that the dollar could be strong. I did draw the kind of both ways scenarios, more squiggles on the way. So the bear version for the Dixie and the bull version for the rest of the market could be making also a lower high and then turning into some kind of like weak head shoulders type of thing. Peter Brandt would yell at me maybe for that, but kind of falling out of some flaggy type formation. The other element of this is just this is that where Don really highlighted the 112 portion of it, but the, you know, 112, 113 to 120, that's the kind of the congestion area for those previous levels back here. So it's a big zone that it would probably take a little bit of time to get through. And it's super extended on that monthly. But I guess if you wanted to make the case, you could say it's kind of waning momentum here as well, you know, that there's just not as much of this appetite for high prices. And it's just kind of setting the stage for either sideways or potentially breaking it down back to just retest levels. That's not to say that it wouldn't still have strong global strength on this range that goes back to 2015, but you might get this move from 108, 109 down to like 104, something like that. And that would be a risk on event for the entire market, like the type of thing that could set up 6 months or a year of bear market rally. In the bear dollar bull everything else opportunity. I have this flag drawn because that's just as likely. I don't think the TA is going to answer this question, but right, you know, we'll be able to shape shift our TA to meet what happens more fundamentally. But the bear version of it is some kind of classic bull flag like you talked about. And
like, we need this, right? Because we're hanging on by a thread as is. So we need S&P strength and we need dollar to slow down, because otherwise,
it needs to be in here at a bare minimum. Like, if it gets into this yellow range, it's just going to climb those stairs, in my opinion. I really got there with that doodle.
I mean, it's really scary when like if it goes up again, because at that point it looks very, very squeezy. Looks like it could easily do like big squeeze to kind of just fuck everything over. Like you guys said, it really does need to, like, the dollar needs to show some weakness, otherwise it's kind of fucked, which is not the best setup given the dollar strength that we've had, right? Like, you don't want to have that. But yeah, whenever something looks up, walks up like this, like, it usually ends with like one big pop. I just don't know when that's going to be.
Well, I just wonder, this could have been that pop, right? The one back here. And this is just like an attempt to maintain it. If you're trying to give that version of the story, you know what I mean?
Yes. I think you can make the call both ways. And I mean, the dollar's been going up crazy. Like, it's up a shitload. And at some point you want to see like governments actually step into this thing, right? It's just, can they actually, or is this just going to squeeze and then return to normal again, like a lot of other things have done? Because if you look at this, right, it doesn't really look like it's been popped. Every single move just looks like basically normal sized, and then you could have like one big sized kind of pop.
Yeah, the problem is, if you call this a pop, this one looked like it could have just been just as well, you know?
Yes, right. Exactly.
It's not the gigantic one.
Like, show me on the chart where the Bank of Japan intervened in their currency market, you know?
Yeah.
It's terrifying, yeah. And I mean, I honestly don't know. This is kind of the problem with comparing this TA to shitcoin TA, because like with a shitcoin, this would just go and have one giant candle to the upside where people get fucked over. Or like in general, people just fall more in. This is something else entirely, right? The entire world trades this thing, if they know it or not. Like everything's reliant on it. So I don't know if it's going to do the same thing that the shitcoins would do. But just looking at this chart, it screams like it wants to go sideways maybe for a little bit, but then actually just pop. Or like maybe it'll retrace a little bit, but in general, this looks like it wants to have one big outsized move.
We used to call this the ultimate shitcoin, so...
I know the irony, right? Bitcoin is the inflation hedge against irresponsible dollars type of thing. It's like, look at me now. We do have some macro LARPy stuff coming up, right? There's FOMC incoming. I think the market seems to be pricing 75 basis points for the next meeting. The entire pivot discussion came from what they're going to do after that, right? So I think the market's pricing in just a very high likelihood of 75 basis points. The next meeting is kind of set. So if it's any lower than that, that'll be a very kind of dovish surprise. So that will probably give us some breathing room. If it's in line with expectations, which I think it will be, I don't think there's too much there. A lot of people are putting emphasis on the presser when it comes to, you know, given 75 basis points seems like a high probability, it's going to be what Powell actually says afterwards that might carry more weight, more so than the decision itself. And it'll be interesting to see if he walks back any of the perceived type of pivot tone that the market started pricing in when Nikki Leaks started Nikki posting Leaks? His his Wall Street Journal
His name is Nick or Nikki?
Yeah, it's Nick. Yeah, so people calling him Nikki Leaks, so which good. Is great. So as far as macro LARPing stuff, I mean, we had Eurozone inflation data and it sucks. Again, it beat expectations, unsurprisingly. It's still very hot in Europe, unlike the winter when it'll be really cold, and that's just not a good combination. But yeah, it seems like we're still very much US dependent as far as direction goes. We've got FOMC coming up, and I think the presser. So I think the two scenarios, the two things that matter, if it's not 75 basis points and it's softer than that and it comes in at like 50 or something dovish, I think they'll be bullish, at least for the short to medium term. And then the second kind of risk, if you will, or thing to be aware of is the presser itself, because the market's going to be watching Jerome's every jitter and facial expression to see if he's going to walk back any of the perceived softening that seems
Can
to be
Can you believe
on
this
horizon.
Is a monthly chart? Like,
no,
this looks like it should be a 5-second chart of someone's liquidation.
Yeah, no, it's global finance is very fragile right now, I think is charitable way to put it.
Yeah, there's these rates. I mean, they're not terrible. It's not like they're terrible rates in the grand scheme of things, but the amount of whipsaw in a short amount of time puts enormous stress on the real world, because what this does is this affects people's lines of credit. It affects real estate, residential, and commercial. It affects the amount of money that people have to put in and out monthly to service debt. And so it puts enormous strain to have this much variance on global debt markets. And that is extremely problematic. I actually think they probably should have already been slowing but regulating the pace of rises, because the impact that you have on a debt deal with 75 point hikes is really severe. And so you can't understand what the impact on a deal is going to be over the course of 2 to 3 months, versus if you had, like, say, sustained 25 point hikes but for a year, you know. And what they're doing instead is trying to get ahead of it, I guess, but like now they're just going to do 75 and then pause. And then what? You're on tiptoe, your tiptoes until they say it's another 75 or we're cutting. The variance is so severe versus if you laid out more of a plan. And it goes back to where they should have been raising by 25 to make this a little less insane to start with. I don't know why these like smaller, more sustained rate adjustments are not on the table.
It's because they're late, right? I think that the answer is because they were late to start. So they need to get the funds rate to a much higher baseline and get there quickly. And I also think you could have justified a more roadmappy approach or slower increases if you saw month-on-month inflation start to come down earlier. But it didn't, right? The whole month we had like a 1-0% month-on-month reading and then it got hot again. So I think it's those two things combined, the fact they were late to start, and despite them starting somewhat conservatively, the evidence didn't support kind of peak inflation as far as the data that they use. They're probably going to over-tighten. That's kind of my base case at the very
least.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, it's going to result in over-tightening. Like, the soft landing is...
Oh, for sure.
...seeming unlikely.
Right. It's like we said, right? If they were late, if they were so off timing-wise to start, why would they be miraculously on time to finish? You know, it's like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. And they'll probably over-tighten, in my opinion. And it's tricky. It's tricky. But as far as short-term stuff goes, I think 75 basis points, the market seems to think, and then the presser is where we'll see some of Jerome's chatter, if he's going to go all Jackson Hole on us or,
I think or something else. I think we're a point or two from really severe damage in the economy in terms of just the way things work. Inventory. I've looked at things from a real estate perspective, and the impact that it'll have on turnover, inventory, transactions, loan rates, and the requirements that it puts on people. It's pretty nuts, man. Like, who in the world wants to refinance at the moment? Which basically puts a pause on anyone moving, residence or business. Much less like more typical debt service for companies and stuff, you know? And outside of mortgages, I don't know how familiar y'all are with the debt structures in the US, but like outside of mortgages, which often have these 30-year terms, you can just sit comfy on your 2.5% to 3.5% rate. Other debt structures change interest rates much quicker. So when you have this type of variance where the interest rate might be double or triple what you last had it at, the impact that has on your liquidity as an entity is extremely severe, and really creates these fissures that I think are on the way, and the likelihood of not having a soft landing increases. Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with any of that. And also, I think just in terms of having baseline expectations, it's not like once we reach the funds rate that the Fed wants, suddenly inflation, you know, next time we get a reading, it's at like 2-4%. It's fine, right? Like, there's still a very decent likelihood that it takes a while to come down. These changes take a while to sort of percolate through the economy and actually have an impact. And all of that affects, like, I don't think we just go from bear market to bull market straight away as soon as we stop tightening as aggressively as we have been, right? And those changes need to kind of have trickle down, no pun intended, into the economy and actually have an impact and bring inflation down, which I don't think will be like an immediate thing by any means. And so all that does is extend the time horizon over which investors are still like uncertain. And then, you know, if you bring in the whole risk of deflation as well, which I think some people have been writing about now, that also makes things less than ideal. So my time horizon for this is, maybe, you know, I've been readjusting or repricing that in my head a little bit, but definitely my base case isn't to go from, okay, we've hit peak tightening, now we just go back into an up-only bull market. That's not my prevailing view at the very least.
Yeah, I think unprofitable public companies are going to struggle for a really long time.
Right.
I think the sector rotation is very real. Like your Exxons of the world could do really, really well over the next decade, in my opinion, over your tech stock that hasn't figured out profitability. You know what I mean? That growth narrative is fighting high interest rates. And when people have a choice for something that can earn yield, I think they'll take it, as long as those industries haven't just been broken because of the amount of just pure strain put on them by policymakers. Which is kind of hits back to that. You're just sinking us into some kind of stagflationary recession, you know?
Yeah, it could take a while, honestly, to play out. Like, I think we're all just kind of waiting for this to go to the up only that it's been. But it kind of feels like we've hit that peak, right? We've hit the insanity. The market kind of turned as insane as it could have, basically. And if Bitcoin or in general crypto is just like one lesson that about markets, right? If you just look back how long it took after the last bull run and then the bear market to kind of, for the bear market to end and for it to go to up only again, it took us quite a while, right? And I think that's the same. It's going to be the same for the traditional markets. I don't think we're just gonna like end this, put a bottom in, and then have 2 months of complete face melting upside and then just make new all-time highs and go again. I think more likely is that we're gonna have like a washout one way or another, and then sideways for maybe a year, two, three, maybe four, and then slow crawl up. And eventually, once it actually breaks the all-time high again, it just kind of goes like it has before. But I think that could take quite a while, and people are not really prepared, especially the trade-up people, you know, that kind of just started the whole trading career. I still think that it's not going to be the best place to be in the next few years, because I think there's going to be less opportunity nowadays than there has been in the last few years. I'd be very, very surprised if we're going to get as crazy markets, especially to the upside, as we've had. I mean, nothing, everything just kind of went insane, right? And in hindsight, it's very easy to say that was basically peak insanity, and I don't think we're going to get anywhere close to it in the next few years.
For what it's worth, since the Great Recession, you can even draw another one in 2011 or so. You know, people thought back then, oh, it's all over, we're going to tank again. Then there was the, what do they call it, the earnings recession, where the market was flat for well over a year, 2015 to 2016. And then the volatility craziness that happened in early 2018, which ended the last crypto bull market, that turned into this crazy broadening wedge thing, obviously had COVID happen as well. And then the melt up. And so this type of consolidate until 2025 of thing that I just drew, honestly, that's my soft landing version, right? The world did not fall apart, but it still takes 2 years plus for an index to figure itself out. I think that's very realistic for the world is not ending. We didn't do this, you know, type of outcome. So it's just moderating your expectations significantly to your point you just made, Don.
Yeah, it's like, can you imagine viewed another way, Don's point being like, if you consider the 2021 speculative mania in all its insanity, and you just ask, when do you think we'll have that again? It's like, oh, I'll give it a year or two, mate. You know, no one would think that's a reasonable view, in my opinion. But at the same time, I do want to not take the other side, but at least raise the other perspective. There are a lot of people who are like very horny doom posters right now, whose entire view is, this is it. What I've been waiting for since 2008, the sovereign debt crisis, and all the currencies are going to go to zero. The entire financial ecosystem is going to collapse. The Great Reset, Charles Schwab, WEF, you'll own nothing, you'll be happy. CBDC surveillance, like people basically off the deep end. Like, they're probably wrong as well, right? I think it's likely that we get some sort of ledger light scenario where we don't nail the kind of soft landing where the Fed completely gets a can on inflation without kind of affecting the broader economy or financial conditions. But maybe we then also just reset everything, pure Armageddon to zero. I think boredom is my base case, boredom and time overall. And that's probably correct. And I don't think betting on the tails there, you know, the tails being new bull market as soon as we hit some arbitrary level, or this is the great financial reset. I think those are probably wrong, at least in your weighing or estimation, that should be the case. And some sort of chop solidation makes you impatient, grindy type of thing is at least what I think is reasonable as far as the available evidence goes. Obviously, the nukes start flying, doesn't matter anyway, right?
So they all want this to happen or think that that's imminent.
Mate, that's their bullish case.
Yeah. They can get blown out, though, with this yellow scenario, the first leg up into whatever, wherever it ends. It doesn't matter. It could end right here. They still get blown up in that, right? Like, they lose horrendously if they're actively betting and not just LARPing. Then they get completely wrecked with 3 or 6 months of significant upside if they're actively betting against that. So anyway, yeah, I think I agree with everything you're saying. I just, patience continues to be the name of the game in my mind.
Some new Tether FUD dropped while we were live cool. as well from DB. Tether bank fraud probe gets fresh look by Justice Department from Bloomberg. A DOJ probe into Tether has been struggling to reach a conclusion. Now a new team is taking a crack and investigating whether executives behind the popular stablecoin committed a crime.
It sounds bullish. They're like, team one came up with nothing, but there's definitely something wrong here. So we're sending in team two.
We'll make the evidence fit our biases, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic. Right.
Well, let's just leave it there unless y'all have anything to add.
I've got something lighthearted.
Yeah, please.
You know, here's one. Let me share this tab real quick. So I haven't looked into the paper or the methodology, but according to this research, 97.7% of tokens launched on Uniswap were rugs. And let's be objective and reasonable people here. That percentage is way too low, right? Yeah. It's probably much higher than that. And also yes. The ones that weren't rugs are down like 90% anyway. So, I mean, it kind of ends up being a distinction without a difference. But that's quite funny because the tech is obviously amazing. People can make their own liquidity pools, make tokens from zero. You don't need this market making agreements and centralized exchange listings and all of that. But I guess in peak mania, there's definitely a price to pay. And yeah, you can't tell if 97.7% is the amount that were rugs or the average drawdown. Like, it's kind of the same number.
A rug, though, on you, like creating a token is kind of like creating email spam. You know, like,
yes.
Are they counting that? Because there's tons of just spam on the blockchain that is a token where somebody's just trying to dupe someone to do something stupid. What I would be really interested in is something where someone actually made an attempt. They never actually took the liquidity away or like just scammed people out of the token. But like there was an attempt at the project. What percentage of those tokens were rugged or, you know, down 99% or whatever?
Probably similar numbers, Ledger.
I know. It's like the variance, basically.
Yes. It's like, did you get rugged or did you basically get scammed, or is it just a bear market drawdown?
Yeah.
Hey, your portfolio looks the same no matter what, you know. So
yeah, I'd be curious about that. Still interesting. Well, that means 2.3% made it, right?
Those are my bags, obviously.
All right, well, now we will leave it there. Thanks everybody for joining us. We appreciate you doing so, and we'll see you next week. I think go to weeklyopen.com/FTX. Thanks to FTX for being our partners. weeklyopen.com/FTX, where you can trade directly from one asset to the other, track your portfolio, all those good things on the FTX platform. weeklyopen.com/FTX. Also, thanks for being here. Like this video, all that kind of stuff. Subscribe, tell your friends. We need listeners in this here bear market. We need new people to talk to about the same old things. See you later.